What's up, Clone Nation? Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast, our first one on the ground from San Antonio, a little Alamo Bowl. Our coverage here begins. We got in kind of late, so we're not going to have as much stuff as we had tried. But we're here, and the Cyclone Fanatic Charter is here, which is good. We're all live. We did well, thanks to our friends at EB Sports Tours. The goal for the week, thank you, Jared, is to present to you who are back in Iowa what's going on down here. We're going to try and paint that picture for you as clear as we possibly can, and we're going to do that courtesy of these fantastic sponsors. Give them a listen, and we'll be back. Rob Gray and Jared Stansbury will join me from San Antonio. This Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is brought to you by Nationwide. Did you know that Nationwide is the official insurance provider for Iowa State University alumni? They offer Cyclone alumni discounts, auto, boat, motorcycle, RV, and pet insurance. To find out more, visit nationwide.com/Iowa State or talk to one of their agents today. Hey guys, it's Chris interrupting this podcast because, you know, everybody wants to know that I get it asked all the time. How can we help Cyclone Fanatic? Well, you help Cyclone Fanatic by you support our advertisers, and everybody needs to be aware of eye care. I wasn't for a long time, and I went to Ames Eye Care, and they really helped me out. It's changed my life. I don't have headaches the way that I did. You've heard me talk about this. They're also in Des Moines at Des Moines Eye Care. And you need to think about this with your family. Get the kids checked out. Encourage the wife. Anything. Personalized eye care. Designer eyewear. I've got these sweet Maui Jim glasses that I use at work all the time. People think they look awesome. They meet your whole family's vision needs at Ames and Des Moines Eye Care. Check them out today and support Cyclone Fanatic. Thank you to our sponsors. And we're back here from San Antonio. We're at the Westin Riverwalk. Where we're recording this right now, still awaiting the arrival of many Cyclone fans. As I talked with our travel group, and there's, you know, just a lot of planes that are still probably in the air right now, and a couple that are still yet to depart from Des Moines International. Is it international? Is it an international airport?
I think they've flown like a direct flight to Toronto before or something like that.
So yeah, Des Moines International.
Yeah. Earlier you said it was Winnipeg.
Well, somewhere in Canada.
It's 5:30 here in San Antonio on Wednesday as we record this. As you can hear, the seniors have made their way onto the podcast. Jared Stansbury and Rob Gray. Tell everybody hello.
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 How was the trip? Did you guys have a good flight?
It was fantastic.
I hate to fly. It was bumpy.
It was fairly bumpy.
See, I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, considering the weather that we were coming through.
Yeah, I was expecting worse.
It took us longer because they were descending level by level and hanging there for a while until they got kind of a little bit less. Jared's looking at me skeptically.
Highlight of the flight for me was, so we were in the front row, and the two seats to the right of me were open, and the co-pilot was sitting next to me, and I got to pick his brain about various aviation topics, which I really enjoyed.
Fascinating.
We're talking about the Bermuda Triangle for a while. I was asking him about the conspiracy theories surrounding the Denver airport and if the New World Order lives under there.
What does he think?
Wouldn't you think they'd have a better place to live?
He claimed not to know about the New World Order.
Okay.
Being under the Denver airport. And he also said that the Bermuda Triangle thing is total hogwash.
Has he ever been on a plane that crashed?
No. I didn't ask that because I thought that'd be inappropriate.
That's fair.
You know?
I still think the New World Order, aren't they hanging out in New Zealand, like buying up properties?
The New World Order is a real deal. I just don't know where they're at and exactly what they're doing.
They could have a branch office in
Denver. Cyclone Fanatic Podcast, we're here. So we've missed a lot of the media stuff, which, whatever. I mean, if we're being honest, it's a bunch of crusty stories that we've all written and you've all read.
Especially me.
Yeah.
Crusty.
Indeed. For real, though, like, you get to a point, like, what kind of update are you really going to get from
John Haycock or Joel Gordon?
Now, what you can do is it gives journalism a chance to shine because you can do some features, much like the one you did on Jaquan Bailey earlier in the week. That was fantastic.
I enjoyed that.
You know, and that's the thing I like about bowl and NCAA tournament coverage, because there's only so much of the games that you can break down at this point. I did this angle last year with the Liberty Bowl, and I want to go back to this well because I think it's extremely important for this football program. We talk and we talk and we talk about how these bowl games are nothing but glorified exhibitions, and really they don't mean anything. Mm-hmm. You're not – these guys aren't getting bonuses if they win. I'm talking about the players. You know, you're not going to get extra recruits if you win, et cetera. I think the games are more important to a program like Iowa State and to that aspect, Washington State, when you don't have a trophy case.
Yeah.
Talked to Matt Campbell last January about it. And he said one of the things that blew him away when he got to Iowa State, they didn't have a trophy case for football. How do you not have a trophy case? Well, you haven't won enough over the years to need one. And I will go there and say that's why this is an important game for Iowa State to continue to add hardware. And you build up the tradition and the prestige of a football program that has been anemic for 4 to 5 decades. Boom. That's where I'm at right now. That's why y'all should care about this game.
How many trophies does Iowa State need before they need to build a football trophy case? Because, okay, so now we've got the Liberty Bowl trophy. They've got the two Insight Bowl trophies. A participation trophy from Shreveport. Or did they win Shreveport?
A win in Shreveport.
They won
and a participation
and a
because
participation.
Of the terrible call on the field goal.
Also, they've got the Co-Big 12 North Champions Trophy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who could forget about that? 2004.
Yeah. So we're adding some hardware into the case. If they win this game, is that the point when it's like, okay, now we need a football-only trophy case?
I think it helps because it's funny. You know, I'm talking to all the great people who traveled with us today. I mean, we got Salt.
Oh, fantastic.
Just amazing people. And – it's amazing the theme of we've all wanted to come here. This has been a bowl game for decades that Iowa State fans have wanted to come to. We have a large alumni pool that's in the state of Texas. It was a Big 12 bowl for a really long time, and then it lost the association with it. But it's back now, and this has been one that you're kind of striving for. And I think you're going to see this week, and again, we referenced this at the start of the podcast, that a lot of Iowa State fans are still on their way, but I think it's starting to fill out. They're going to turn out, and it's a nice place to travel to, but it's a big game. It's the biggest postseason game in Iowa State football history, and save me your dirty 30 talk. I understand that y'all were playing for a lot back then, and I respect that, but this is different. There's more money on the line. You're talking about a university that is, I don't know what enrollment was then, but it sure as hell wasn't 30,000 like it is now. The stakes are higher is what I'm trying to say. And again, it's not that Iowa State didn't have a good football program in the Earl Bruce years. I get it. But you were never playing for million-dollar TV contracts and survival in 2024 when possible college football Armageddon is coming, and it is coming. Things are going to change. These things that we talk about right now in a different conversation could seem meaningless. They are far from meaningless when you look 5 years into the future.
Well, the difference in exposure in playing in an Alamo Bowl in 2018 versus playing in a – there weren't many bowls, you know, when you go into the Peach Bowl, the Hall of Fame Bowl.
Totally different
so
world.
So there was maybe a little bit different level of prestige because there weren't as many teams. But at the same time, the prestige level here is amped up so much because of, again, the interest in college football and the saturation that people can't get enough.
That's a good point, Rob.
Well, and back then, too, I mean, if you didn't affiliate with Iowa State, would you know that they played in the 1976 Peach Bowl?
No, it's just,
like you,
it's
just from back then, you think about the Orange Bowl, the Rose Bowl,
Cotton Bowl,
the Sugar Bowl. Yeah. It's the big ones that you would
they
think
were
about,
in the Peach
you know?
Bowl, which
in
was
the
a
Peach
big
Bowl,
deal.
The Peach Bowl now is a big deal because that's a New Year's Six game, you know. But back then, it wouldn't have been on the national radar for one thing because it whoever's playing in it probably is not playing for the national championship.
I think that bowl game before 2 days from now was by far the most prestigious postseason game Iowa State has ever played in.
Yep.
I would make the argument that the Alamo Bowl this year has now surpassed that.
Because of all the factors
correct
that we've discussed, I think.
Well, and take into account – you talk about the college football Armageddon, which, by the way, when you talk about that, you're like, you guys wouldn't understand this. But there's this guy that stands outside the library in the free speech zone on campus at
Iowa
State. I
know exactly who that guy is.
Who stands out there and tells everybody they're going to hell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're basically that street preacher but like in a positive way.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to hell. I think that Iowa State has been saved.
Yeah.
I think that basically in this scenario, a combination of Jamie Pollard and Matt Campbell would be the Messiah. And they've saved us they've saved us from our sins. And I do think that Iowa State will
the Redeemers
yeah. without the hopefully without any yeah.
the
any,
end
any
is no sort, longer yeah, near
any sort of cross or anything.
I do think Iowa State survives this next round, but I don't know if they would have had this glorious combination of Paul. How do you combine Pollard and Campbell?
I don't know. Okay, we're gonna
Pauble.
Yeah.
Pauble.
Whatever. But I was going to say that their other school in this game is probably in a similar boat. But 2 years ago, or 5 years ago, before Mike Leach gets to Pullman, Washington, wouldn't they have been in a similar conversation?
Yes, and I think the only difference, and I think you raise a great point, and it's one of the things I think is interesting about the game. The only difference is he's just been there longer.
Yeah.
You know, he's had a longer time to establish what he's doing. You heard my conversation with him last week. He still feels, and they are at 10-2. That's an ascending program.
Yeah.
Right now. And he feels like this is another step, but Campbell's doing this in year
three.
Yep.
Three compared to year seven.
Yeah. Well, and Washington State does have more football history as a whole, probably, than Iowa State does. They've been to four Rose Bowls. You know, they've played in some Holiday Bowls, some other big bowl games, but, it still just feels like these two schools play second fiddle in their state.
No question.
I mean, to call a spade a spade. And they've never really been at the peak of the college football conversation outside of maybe when Washington State had Ryan Leaf. And that was because of really one guy.
One guy put them on the map.
Exactly. Yeah. And now these are two schools that are trying to vie their, you know, are battling to try and get into that tier. And I think that, you know, in the coming seasons, I think we're going to continue to see them be on that common plane where it's like they're not in the top of the top, but they're in that next
group
in
the conversation,
trying to battle to get into where you're in that New Year's Six conversation every year.
I think it's a good point.
What's interesting is I did some research early on, and Washington State went from like a 1930s Rose Bowl until a Holiday Bowl in somewhere in the 80s, right before Jim Walden jumped ship to Iowa State. That's how long their bowl drought was.
It was like 50 years, wasn't
it? Yeah, about 50 years. And then they started to get some – I can't remember every coach that came in, but they got some years where they'd rise and they'd fall. How many times have we seen that at Iowa State? And the rise is a relative. You know, is it 10 wins? Is it 7? Is it all that? But I think they're so similar. I mean, I echo that because – they are very much considered by some quote unquote little brother to the Washington Huskies. They've got that chip on their shoulder. They always have. I know a guy who was a big Cougs fan.
Cougs.
I covered racing with them at Indy once and got to know a bit more about the Cougs and their journey through, you know, trying to get their, always getting their sign up on game day. Then they finally got a game day, and Iowa State's still, you know, on the cusp of that. But
Iowa State will be one of the next schools to get I would say, that has never had it before. And the last Rose Bowl that Washington State went to, do you know who they played against?
I do not.
They played against the Oklahoma Sooners. I think it was 2 years after Mike Leach had left to go to Texas Tech, quarterbacked by Nate Hibble. So a Mike Leach disciple. Went out and I think they were up 34-0 at halftime on Washington State. But then the next year, Oklahoma was obviously really good. I mean, I think that was when Jason White won the Heisman, if I remember correctly. But, you know, they've played Big 12 teams before, and they have not had a ton of success against the Big 12 based on some stuff that I was reading the other day from the newspaper in Pullman. I think they're like 7-20 against current Big 12 teams right now. Only three of them they've never played, and Iowa State's obviously one of them. But I think that this is just going to be a really fun game, and it's as much as anything, it's because it's two teams that are different, you know. And I think that that's something that when you're ESPN looking at this game, when you're the city of San Antonio looking at this game, the Alamo Bowl crew, it's a different experience for a group of fans. It's a different experience for the entire city, just because they've never had these teams here in these kind of circumstances. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I think it's going to be really cool.
Absolutely. And I think the dynamic, too, of the Pac-12 was really weird this year.
Yeah.
I mean, down, I think, by all accounts. So how much do you factor that into 10-2? I know a lot of Cougs fans are upset that they're not in a New Year's Six Bowl. and this is going to be the nature of every fan base, right? No matter how much you've suffered in the past, once you start to get that taste of success and close to that upper echelon, you're really, you know, understandably upset when you feel like you belong a touch higher. But it's hard when you break down the schedule. I know their non-con wasn't exactly, you know, did they play Michigan State in the non-con?
No.
I'm trying to think. They played somebody.
You know what is funny is I was going to go on with that route, and I really started to break down the analytics of who they played game by game. Their schedule was better than I thought it was.
Okay.
Honestly, I was researching it to write a column about how I thought their schedule sucked.
Yeah. Well, I think the Pac-12, nature of the Pac-12 this year drags that down a little bit.
Correct. They played Utah, USC, Washington. There are some decent defenses and stuff that they played, and I kind of had to back off from that. I was fully prepared to write the Washington State hasn't played anybody's schedule.
Yeah, yeah. And but it's so hard to compare because I don't know. The SC disappointed. Shout out to Paul Rhodes. UCLA knocked him off at the end of the year.
Yeah.
There really wasn't an elite team in that conference.
The Pac-12 sucks.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that, and I think that the results have been proven on the field time and time again, but I think there are pockets of good teams. And here's the deal. It's a leech team, so you pretty much know what you're going to get. They're going to show up. They're going to do what they do. And can you stop it? Yeah. I don't know.
Happens in the media hospitality room?
I don't know. Why?
I can tell you what happened.
Hospitable are they?
I can tell you what happened to Shreveport. Have I ever told the story on the air?
I don't think so.
I was helping to cover the year that they won against Miami of Ohio. Walked in the night before the hospitality room at the there at the Independence Bowl. Guy running the bowl was sitting back, and not unlike a chair at the Westin here, kind of sitting back, the margarita cup in his hand, and I dare say rather inebriated. And I sat down and chatted with them and joined him, and they had a margarita machine in the hospitality room at the Independence Bowl. That's pretty good hospitality.
Dudes tend to get hammered at those places. Seriously.
It's a long run for them, too.
It's free beer.
Lead up to it. Yeah.
Sounds like the kind of place that we might need to visit.
When does the credential place close?
I don't know, but this place opens at 10. They're open from 10 to 2.
You don't have your credential. You have to have your credential to get in there.
Oh, crap.
Isn't it on site? We'll figure that out.
I once hung out with Jason Whitlock at a hospitality room
in Dallas. Was that where he stiffed you?
A horrible person. Was this before
he wore a hat all the time?
I don't know. One of the single meanest human beings I've ever met in my life.
He comes across that
way. Oh, he was horrible.
Oh, my gosh.
Awful. Awful. Super mean to me. Anyways.
Can I add one more quick point?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love nothing more.
What you were saying about Leach, though, I mean, I was going through, you know, the coordinators were, they met the media today, and I was struck, John Haycock had mentioned that it's a team, their offense is unlike one that they've faced, even though we think of it air raid, that's held over a lot in the Big 12, held a lot of sway in the Big 12, even post-Leach, Texas Tech, and he was really impressed with not only the scheme, but the discipline with which they run it. And I just think you've touched on it in columns, we've touched on it in stories leading up, but just that chess match when you look at Leach, just the incredible architect of, you know, an innovator on offense versus John Haycock, who has worked wonders for this Iowa State defense. I think that's the key game within the game, of course.
The only class I'd rather take than Mike Leach's is John Haycock's.
Dude, Haycock. So, you guys read my column on Leach, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Jay Jordan, who will be rolling into town tomorrow. We're going to do a bunch of videos and stuff with Jay.
Oh, no. Excellent.
Tomorrow it's going to be great. He's offered to teach me for my new off-season thing that I obsess over, you know, and I read about. Jay wants to really go in-depth with me on, just different offenses in football. So, we learn a different offense, like, every week.
Can he teach you about the triple option
or the wing tee?
No, I'm sure that we would attack the, you know, the wishbone and all that stuff.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Why do you always go back to Nebraska stuff?
The triple option? No, I'm talking about like the Army triple option.
Army Georgia Tech.
I'm just messing with you.
Georgia Tech's getting beat by Minnesota right now.
That's bad. I really like Georgia Tech.
Row. The Riverwalk.
I had Minnesota in my underrated underdog picks with Fitzy. Neither one of us has won a game yet, so this would be colossal. Yeah.
A coup of sorts.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
So here's our schedule. What time are press conferences tomorrow?
11 a.m.
Jeez, why is it so late? My God. Anyways.
What time was it at in Memphis last year?
Like 8 in the morning.
Believe me, I remember.
Jared does not do well with the morning. I'm the type I want it to be. I would do a press conference at 6 if they would let me.
I'm good. I'm good with 8.
Yeah. We're
kind of in between.
We will do another podcast for you guys from here in San Antonio, and hopefully we'll mix in some sound tomorrow with, you know, the coaches. I'll stick my recorder up in their face, and we'll get some Leach, and we'll get some Campbell, and we'll do all that stuff. Rob, what are you going to be working on?
Well, stories out of those availabilities, certainly.
There's not a lot tomorrow, so we're going to do our best. But they did just send out quotes.
They did.
Yep.
Yeah, we have quotes now.
And we got some from today, and you know, at this point, once you're here, it becomes very much game-specific kind of stuff. But a lot of different angles, obviously, to pursue.
Jared, what the hell are you going to be doing?
Everything. I'll be all over social. I'm going to put something together with those quotes that they just sent out here before we go find food.
We need to also promote that Jeff Woody will be hosting a game watch for us at Barntown Brewing. Coming up on what night is the game, man?
Friday night.
It gets so confusing.
I can't imagine any scenario in which that doesn't turn into an absolute SH word show.
Yeah. So Woody will be there hosting that game watch for Cyclone Fanatic. And we also want to encourage everybody. We're doing more on Instagram every day, and we're really building that up. Do we have 5,000 followers yet?
We do. Yeah, we passed those just last week, I think.
We're climbing that up, and we're – Instagram and the stories allows you to do a lot of like cool mm-hmm. content that you can't do in other areas.
Well, and they
go
right to Facebook too.
Yeah. So keep an eye on that. If you haven't followed us yet, Cyclone, is it _ Fanatic?
I think it's just Cyclone Fanatic.
Cyclone Fanatic, whatever.
Find us. You'll find us.
Just find it and you guys will.
You'll find it and you'll know that you found it because Chris described being at the San Antonio airport as eggplant emoji.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Good for you.
It's here.
I was excited to be there.
I got it for you. Yeah, you were right. Cyclone _ Fanatic. My bad. I made it. You would think I would know.
Go back to the archive, the one I collaborated with you on in Lawrence, Kansas. You did a fine job with that one as well.
Maybe we can do a pod in the morning even. Because I don't want to post too much in the afternoon for people because then they can't handle it. We'll figure it out. Somebody's going to be at the pep rally tomorrow posting stuff on social. We'll have it all covered for you guys down here. We appreciate you listening. Have a happy day after Christmas, and we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Peace.